Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Queen's Lair. This is your host, Renee Lowe. I'm the CEO of Onyx Queen Media. We are a branding and event planning firm, and we help lifestyle brands, foodie brands, anywhere in that circle. We also work a lot with folks who are in the wellness community as well, and also natural hair. If you guys follow us on social media at Onyx Queen Media, you'll see our business side. And then if you follow at Blackberry Naturals, you'll see all of our event planning side and all of the great entrepreneur women of color that we work with. Well, it is Black History Month, and I think that this is a great way to kick this off because I think this is so important. We have a special guest with us today, Dr. Nicole Sweiner. First of all, if you want inspiration, you got to follow this lady on social media. You got to follow her on Instagram. Her Instagram, as they say out there, Instagram is popping. She has such great information, very encouraging, and being a Black woman, being a doctor is, I think, just amazing. And that added piece to it, as well as the business side of it, you see both sides. So this is a really unique thing, and I think it's just so fitting for it to be the start of Black History Month, you know, for us to be doing this. So if you're not tuned in, you're going to hear the replay. The replay will be up a little bit later today. So thank you guys for whoever is tuning in live, and then also the replay will be up later today. Physician, professor, speaker, author, friend. These are all the different things that encompass Dr. Nicole Sweiner. Dr. Sweiner is a family medicine, general medicine expert covering a broad spectrum of both medical and mental health issues. As a wife and mother of two, she uses real-life experiences to clearly communicate keys to better health and wellness for mind, body, and spirit. Straight talk, anecdotes, humor, these are all the things that she uses to captivate her diverse audience with candor and grace. I want to do a serious welcome to you, Dr. Sweiner. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. This is really great. I think this was meant to be. I know we've been trying to catch up with schedules and everything, but I think for, mm-hmm. and I realized it today, I was like, you know, the first day of Black History Month, this is a perfect way to really jump all of this off. I said, this actually works. It's totally fitting. Totally fitting.
Look at God. Welcome.
I know, right? This is so great. Well, I want to go over with folks a little bit more background on who you are, the type of medicine that you practice within, and talk about your book and all of that. So the first thing that I'm going to jump off, because we're still in the beginning of the year, and one of the things is what are some of the top health risks for Black women? And did that have anything to do with you becoming a doctor? Did that have any, like, give us a little background on you, and then what got you into, like, okay, yeah, I want to become a doctor? And give us some of those top risks for Black women as well.
Yes. So to answer your first question about health risks, particularly for women, particularly for Black women, you know, not only is this month legendarily celebrated as Black History Month, but it's also Heart Health Month. And women, particularly Black women, unfortunately, are suffering from higher rates of heart disease, in equal or sometimes higher rates than men nowadays. So that means, you know, heart attacks and artery disease and strokes and things of this nature, all are kind of, we focus on all of those things this month. So, by the way, I think tomorrow is like Wear Red for Women Day, in celebration or in recognition of heart disease and heart disease awareness. So I'm going to try to wear some red tomorrow to do that. But that, you know, heart disease is a huge issue. Unfortunately, it can be very silent, meaning we don't feel any signs or symptoms. You may not know you have heart disease or trouble with things like your blood pressure or your cholesterol unless you go and get checked out. And as women, I guess particularly Black women, things that can lead to heart disease are unfortunately rampant in our culture and our environment. So stress, clearly, you know, everybody's dealing with stress, but I think our group is one of the more stressed groups culturally, because we deal with all these things that we have to carry on our shoulders and carry the family and carry the culture and, you know, and hold down a job, two or three jobs, and help the family. You know, we tend to carry that a little bit more than other populations, I think. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And unhealthy habits that we're also doing as well. But, you know, we'll get back to that. But definitely heart disease is a huge risk factor.
I'm already guilty of that as I look at my gallon of water sitting over there.
Me too. So that's one big major clump of health risk factors that I try to focus on for Black women. But, you know, did I want to always be a doctor? How did I become a doctor? When I was younger, I was blessed and fortunate to have those that were very supportive and very encouraging of me once they saw that I did well in school and things like math and science. I always loved children, so I was always babysitting. And so I'm not sure whether I came up with the idea first or it was my family or loved ones around me that said, hey, you can put all that together and be a baby doctor. Like, why don't you be a baby doctor? And I was like, okay, maybe that's a good idea. But over time, I was able to shadow my dentist. My dentist growing up was a Black male, and his wife was a Black female family doctor. So, again, another blessing was that I was able to be in their environment. They were very willing and able to be my mentors. So they had me shadow, and I got to see what it was like to work in this kind of an environment, right? So later on, I figured I do want to do something in patient care. I ultimately decided I didn't want to be a dentist and be in people's mouths all day. But I knew that I wanted to care for patients in some way. So fast forward, long story short, throughout school and doing volunteering and being in hospitals and being with patients and all that, I ultimately decided that, yes, this is what I want to do, and I want to take care of the entire family. So that's how I chose family medicine.
Wow. Okay. So tell us some of the biggest misconceptions that you have seen in your practice as a doctor.
To kind of go back a little bit to the heart disease and things being silent killers, a lot of misconception is around, well, doc, I feel good, so that must mean that nothing's wrong with me. And unfortunately, that's not the case. You know, we can have high blood pressures, we can have high cholesterol, we can have high sugars, diabetes, things of this nature, and feel perfectly normal. You know, we don't have to have those textbook symptoms to know that something is wrong with us. So if you're not going and getting your yearly or more than once a year checkups with your doctor and getting your numbers checked, you won't know. You know, the same is true for a lot of cancers, you know, cervical cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff you don't know unless you go and get checked out, and you can feel absolutely fine without, you know, any signs or symptoms. So that's scary, but I think it's also just a reminder that we need to, no matter what age, you know, once you're an adult, once mom and dad are not making those appointments for you anymore, you have to remember, you know what? It's been a while since I'm going to have a checkup. Let me go and have my annual exam. So that's probably the biggest misconception.
Yeah, you don't want the wake-up call in the wrong way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And especially, you know, we see so many things happening with people who just, I haven't been to the doctor in 20 years. And, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know.
if you don't, and I actually had somebody say, we actually had this conversation not too long ago, and she was like, well, if anything's wrong with me, I just want to fall down in the street. I don't want to know. You know, and I'm like,
and God bless you, and as a doctor, I have to respect that from people who say that. I mean, that it's, you know, you are of sound mind and hopefully not insane, and you can make your own final decisions, and if that's the way you want to go out, then so be it. But, you know, I am in the business of prevention, so if there's any way that I can help you not fall dead in the street and live a little bit longer and happier, then, of course, that's what I'm going to help you to do.
You know, well, okay, so now that we're actually talking about this, I want to, like, put this to rest. Because we always hear this within the Black community that it is so hard for Black people, but more so Black men. Do you find that that is true, that Black men is very, like, they're the least likely to want to see the doctor or the least likely to go to the doctor? Because that's kind of like a going,
a
I don't know if you want to call it rumor or whatever, that Black folks just don't like going to the doctor. So, What is it really? Tell us, because you know, you're a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, my experience, I've been in practice for 10 years now. Unfortunately, I would say all men, or men in general, and I hate to, you know, generalize, but men in general don't like and don't seem to come to the doctor as regularly as women. If they do happen to come to the doctor, it's because either they were told they had to, or a woman has dragged them in. Or they have a note from their wife. That's what I do with my husband, too. I'll send a note. I'm like, yeah, okay, you can go to the doctor by yourself, but here are the three things you need to make sure you ask. I don't know why that is. Fear of the unknown. They don't want to hear anything bad.
I read an article, I think it may have been Essence Magazine, I read an article, and it was all about, and it was several years ago, and I probably still have the magazine, but I want to say it was an article from, like, the 90s, actually. But it was an article that talked about, like, as women, how we can get our men to go to the doctor. And it was giving, like, little tips or something in there of, you know, how to get past the fear and just let it go. Because once they go and they're okay, it's all good, and they're, like, happy, and they're, like, excited. I went, you know, this is amazing, you know.
I should have done that a long time ago,
Right, exactly, exactly. So, wow. So you heard it here, folks, you heard it. It is very true that men don't like go to the doctor. That's so funny.
Yes, but, and yeah, I would say it's equal across the races. It's equal. So that's Black men.
Interesting. Well, okay, tell us about your book.
Yeah.
And give us some tips of what we can do to, you know, I want you to explain a little bit about your book, because then that'll also get into the tips. But explain your book, and then we'll talk about the tips pertaining to your book.
Okay, I call myself the Superwoman Complex Expert. That's because I am a self-identified Superwoman, which has both positive and negative connotations, but I've actually written two books on the Superwoman Complex topic. One was, or is called, How to Avoid the Superwoman Complex. The second one is called The Superwoman Complex, A Follow-Up Visit. And both books, define what it is to be a superwoman, which is not all positive. And define the signs and symptoms of what it is that comes with all that. So the mental health pieces, the physical, the medical pieces, the imbalance in work and life and family pieces, it talks about all of that. And so the first book kind of defines it, tells you what it is, what the signs and symptoms are of the complex, historically where it came from. The second book says, okay, you've identified yourself to be a superwoman, how are you going to fix it? And it gives you a lot more tips as to, you know, what you can do to focus on better self-care.
So give us three tips for better health, not getting burned out, that whole self-care And that's like a phrase that people are using more often now. I think there's a hashtag out there, not only self-care, but like self-care Sunday, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So give us like three quick tips.
Yes. Number one, can we kill this whole team no sleep, like philosophy?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know where.
I saw your post on that. I did. Yes.
A lot of my little millennial friends and, you know, musicians or artists or entrepreneurs are out here talking about celebrating this team no sleep philosophy, like, I don't need sleep, I grind, you know, like, I'm working, I'm securing the bag, I'm out here doing it, I don't need sleep. No, ma'am, no, sir. Sleep, number one, gotta get good sleep. We should all be striving, at least trying, to get an average of 6 to 8 hours per sleep per night. Yes, gotta do it. If you don't do it, your body will come back to you.
I'm hovering at 5 hours right now. After 5 hours, my internal clock kind of gets me up after 5 hours. I need to maybe stretch that out a little bit. Okay.
If you can stretch it to six, so that's what the data says. That's what the national organization says is healthy for us, is 6 to 8 hours, regardless of age. Because if we're getting a little bit less than that, unfortunately, our bodies need time to rejuvenate, refresh, bring your blood pressure down, monitor your breathing, your cortisol, which is the major stress hormone, it needs to be brought down. Yes, if you're waking up too early, you're not giving your body enough time to go through that process. And sleep, not only do we need to look at the length of time, but we need to look at the quality of it. So if you're not sleeping well, right? So you can lay down for 10 hours, but if you've been up 3 or 4 times to use the bathroom, or you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep until 5, and then you got to wake up to go to work, that's also not healthy. So the quality of sleep is major. So number one, sleep, and if you're not getting good sleep, then you have to address it, because then your body is gonna reject you.
Wow.
So, and just to kind of follow that up with, you know, medical stuff. So if you're not sleeping well, it leads to high blood pressure, it leads to diabetes, it leads to obesity, it leads to heart disease. So this is real. Gotta sleep.
Wow.
Gotta sleep. So that's my number one. I'm a sleep queen. Number two is healthy relationships.
Ooh.
Like, we don't think that other people can affect us as much as they can, but they absolutely do. I'm also, you know, so I'm very focused on getting rid of toxic relationships, and that goes for friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
People can really weigh you down with their negativity, and that includes grandma, aunties, mother, father. If folks are not truly encouraging and supporting you and being loving and kind and reciprocal with their love, then it really truly is more worth it to let them go so that you can allow space for other people who are very caring of you. And, I don't mean to sound selfish, but I'm always reminded my husband, who I think is a wonderful hood psychologist, he's just wise. He just knows stuff. I'm reminded of something that he said before, because, you know, we always say, well, a relationship or a marriage or a friendship should be 50-50. He says, absolutely not. It should be 100-100. I should be giving 100% of me to you when I'm available to be there for you, and I should expect the same from you. And I think that's really true. Let's get rid of these, you know, girlfriend friendships where I kind of, you know, we're cool, but I'm really kind of silently hating on you. Let's get rid of this crabs in a barrel mentality where we want you to do well, but not better than us. You know, just you have to be careful.
Oh, yes. This is so...
right?
That's like several podcasts that I've done on each of those subjects. People who time suck. People who just drain the life from you, where, you know, you're always listening. Because I know that people like to be the shoulder to cry on and, you know, the listening ear, but that can be draining as well, because if you're always the one taking in people's
stuff,
where does the helper, where do they go for help? You know, if you're always the one listening to everybody's stuff and it's not reciprocal, that's a major, major. And it's hard because sometimes it is family. You know, sometimes it is family, and it's very tough when it's family. But, you better listen to this because this is coming from a doctor now. You thought I was just talking. This is coming from an MD. He's telling you
I see it all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially black women because, again, we are conditioned to be that way. We're conditioned to hold the family down, be the center, be strong. You know, mommy can take it. Mommy can do it. Let's call this person. It's always that one cousin or that one sister that takes care of everything.
Everybody.
I see it all the time. I talk about it daily in my clinic because someone can't sleep or they're depressed or their blood pressure won't go down or they hate their job. You know, we talk about it all the time. Some people you have to love from a distance. I love my family.
Yeah.
I love my family, but there are some relatives that I only see on social media.
My dad used to say that. My dad used to say that years ago, and we all thought he was just like being cold, and he was like, some people you have to love from a distance. And now that he's much older, I'm like, you're a wise man. We have to see it. You have to
be free and joyful.
Wow. Well, okay, so let's wow, that folks, I'm telling you. I say it all the time. When I talk to my clients, I say it all the time. So especially when they start to really become successful, like as I had some clients that have, you know, really moved into doing television, you know, and that kind of thing, and people start to change around them. They keep saying that they change, and it's like, no, a lot of the times it's the people around you and how they're changing and how they're and people who never used to come around, and now they're coming around now, and they're like just sucking the life force out of you. Okay, so getting back to you being a doctor, can you tell us, within, you know, just knowing from your expertise, what are some things that, especially women, what are some things that we should be looking for when we're looking for a primary care physician or a specialist? Like, give me like a couple of tips of things that we should look for or questions that we should ask.
Yes. The biggest one, I guess, is asking yourself, you know, what type of person are you most comfortable with? You know, there are plenty of women that only want a female physician or provider. There are some women who prefer a male for whatever reason. You know, black or white, kids, no kids, you know, you have to figure out who you feel you'd have the most rapport with because you want to be able to truly connect with that person. I have way too many people that come to me saying, yeah, you know, I'm going to so-and-so because my mom went there and my dad was there, but I don't really, you know, I don't feel all that connected to them. Like, you know, I don't really tell them everything that's going on because I just don't trust them. You don't have to go to somebody that you don't that you don't trust and you don't like. You know, there are plenty of us available where you could pick and choose who you want. So figure out who you think you'd be most drawn to, number one. Number two, you know, personality-wise, you know, you may ask your friends and family who they see and ask about, you know, their bedside manner. You know, do you feel that that person truly is concerned about your health and will take the time to talk to you and look you in the eye and explain things to you? Because I've also seen patients come to me saying, well, I know I had all these tests and all these labs, but nobody explained it to me. Or they started me on this medicine, and I don't know why. And I'm like, well, why didn't you ask?
And you have to be your own advocate, too. You got to be a self-advocate as well. You're allowed to ask questions. I think that people feel that because the person is a doctor that, mm-hmm. you know, they have every single answer in the world, and they don't
right.
want to, I guess, undermine. I know that's how I felt
yeah.
in the past.
Yeah.
I want to feel like
yeah.
I'm under, like, they went to school all these years, and they know all these things. I don't want to undermine them. But if you're unclear or
mm-hmm.
you have a concern, you definitely should ask questions. I learned that very late. Like,
yeah.
well down to my 20s, I learned that very late. Like, you need to ask more questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think people are becoming more comfortable with that because of the age of technology and the internet and WebMD and, you know, we like to call them internet doctors. People are more prone to going and looking up and researching things and researching that medicine and all that and coming back and asking questions. I'm perfectly comfortable and fine with having an open-ended discussion about your health and why we're choosing to do the things that we're doing. And ultimately, you know, you are the patient. You have to either take heed or not take heed. You know, you get to make that final decision, and I'm okay with that. As long as we have as long as you come to me and we talk about the actual evidence behind things, you're not just basing this because your cousin said something or you saw something on Dr. Oz. We're having a conversation about the medical literature. I'm okay with us having, you know, I don't feel threatened by people coming in and asking questions
yeah.
about their health or the medicine.
Yeah.
So find somebody you can have an open conversation and discussion with and have a good bedside manner.
Excellent. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so give me a quote or, like, the best piece of advice that you got when it pertains to business, like, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that a standout thing that somebody said to you or something, you know, something that you were really like, wow, I can really take this and, you know, build with this?
As it pertains to only business?
Yeah, just you being an entrepreneur and building your business and just the thought process, because
yeah.
we have a lot of entrepreneurs from all walks
mm-hmm.
of life. So just in general, because
yeah.
even though you are a doctor, this is your business, you know. So
yeah.
what is, like, that standout thing?
I think one of my favorite Bible verses talks about faith without works is dead.
Mm.
And that pertains to a lot of different things in life and in work. But, you know, I like to try to encourage people, as I've had to encourage myself, to if we have that idea, if you have the belief that this is something that you really want to do, just do it. Like, there's no perfect time to do it. You can't just believe it and have the idea. You got to put in the work. So it's one thing to say, right? So it's one thing to say, you know, I'm going to pray about it, and this is my time, and I know God is going, he's going to make it happen. Well, that's one part, but then you actually have to go do something.
Yeah.
You actually have to go apply for that loan. You actually have to go
mm-hmm.
find a business partner. You have to actually put together a business plan, or you have to actually, you know, set aside time to work on your craft. So you can't just sit and have an idea and pray and hope and wait for it to happen. You actually have to put forth some work and some effort to make it work.
Very true. Very, very true. Well, give us where we can find you. Tell us about, is there an event or anything that you have coming up soon that
yeah.
somebody can attend? Let us know what your website is, your Instagram. Where can we find you on social media? I already know all of this, but I want my people to hear you say it. So.
Yes.
But give us, like, where we can find you next.
Yes. So I'm at Doc Swiner, DocSwiner, on almost all social media. So LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. And my website is DocSwiner.com. The thing that I'm really excited about coming up soon is tomorrow, Friday, February the 2nd, I'm having I'm doing what I call Mogul Moves. It's a webinar for female entrepreneurs. So if
Excellent.
You have them, right? So if you have that idea, you're like, 2018 is my year. I'm going to increase my business, or I'm going to start that business. I just don't know what kind of steps I need to take, that whole faith without works is dead thing. Then tomorrow at noon, and it will be recorded. So if you get live, I'll record it. But we're doing it at noon Eastern Standard Time. We're doing a live webinar where I'll do walk through this ebook I just released on Mogul Moves and Mogul Tips about how you can increase your business for 2018. So that is at bit.ly/mobilemove. That's going on tomorrow. If you have need of me, if you need me to come out and speak and teach and do workshops and self-care stuff, please let me know. I love to travel and come out. I know Renee and I were talking about me coming out there to Atlanta. You're Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, so we got to connect and do some
Excellent.
Things there. But I love to travel, so invite me out. And if you are into self-care, if you're really trying to focus a lot on self-care this year, I've also developed a what I call the Superwoman Survival Kit. It's a self-care subscription box program. And you can also contact me on Instagram and all that, and we can talk about that. But once a month, I'm going to send you out some special goodies, and then we're going to meet, and we're going to talk about it, and it's fun. It's $20 a month, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We start that this week.
Well, that is wonderful. Folks, please, please follow this woman on social media, at Doc Swiner, docswiner.com. Thank you so much, Doctor, for just talking to us about all this. I think this was an amazing way to kick off Black History Month. I so appreciate it. Folks,
yes, ma'am.
If you're listening to us right now, our replay, again, will be up later on tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. We had a great talk with Dr. Nicole Swiner, Black Women in Health. This is Season 9, Episode 1 of The Queen's Lair, and we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you.